Hey, what's up, everybody? This is the
Yo.
RSA Podcast. My name is Arsenio Mash. You can follow me on Instagram at RSAY Podcast, or you can email me at 8blocksentertainment@gmail.com. Right now, I got my man, because he's been he started on the podcast in the beginning. I mean, since the beginning, I can't even say nothing no more, for real. And y'all know he's got a podcast, or he's got a fight coming up in December. So please, everybody, give a warm round of applause for Professor Xavier Wilson.
Everybody's cool. Can clap at their phone.
I know. I hope so.
Clap at their
That's the
YouTube
plan.
screen.
That's the hope anyway.
Right.
That was a terrible intro, by the way.
That was
But it's all
awesome,
good.
man. They bring us on here, and we're I'm excited, man. I'm excited to be here. I'm glad to be here. Love having conversations. You know me.
Oh yeah.
I'm a that's all weird, but people seem to like it, so that's fun. But yeah, man, what's been up with you? What y'all been up to out here?
So, since the last time we spoke on the podcast, it's been quite crazy. So I discussed openly about my depression, anxiety, and stuff like that, and I'm putting out there that I am interested in doing psychedelics in order to treat my depression, anxiety, and all that other good stuff. Yeah. So, from the
You get any
research,
feedback? What they saying?
from the research that I've seen, now there's asterisks, if you will, to each thing that I'm about to say. But if you take SSRIs, it's probably not going to work. You have to be in a comfortable setting. You have to focus on one thing to work on at a time.
Like how so?
So let's say you have parenting issues, or you have issues of death, or you have abuse issues, or you have any of those kind of things. Psychedelics are showing greatly that it really helps with those issues, because there's a common quote that's out there that says it's 10 years of therapy in a 7 hour band.
Oh, I get you.
Yeah.
Wow,
So
that's
10 out
interesting.
10 hours th 10 hours therapy in a 6 hour span. Or 10 years, excuse me. Yeah, so like it almost seems like, and I've said it before, like a miracle drug, if you will. But that's, that's only, I feel like that's only for people that have shit to deal with, that's real heavy. Not everybody's like that, obviously.
Yeah, I think it's definitely, I think solving any problem is case by case.
Sure.
I get depressed. I have issues. And there's no like you can't really compare anybody's issues because everyone handles their own issues like of different severity with different severity. Like I have a friend that will be handling something that's very similar to what I'm handling, but not nearly as bad. And he's handling it way worse, like way worse than me. And I'm like, dude, like, get a handle on it. But then I look at people that are worse off than me, like way worse off than me, handling things way better than me. And I'm like, wow. And that kind of, that kind of obviously puts things in perspective in terms of solutions. So you have to solve it your own way. Like I make music. I release like 2 songs about depression because like when I get stuck in that thing, I can't sleep. I can't do anything. And I try to express myself in healthy ways because there's a lot of unhealthy coping mechanisms that I don't want to get into. But so I never will. So I try to do it another way. So music is one way, you know, drawing. I love art, you know, writing stories and stuff like that. You know, obviously, like, you're just trying to, like, maybe you have to obsess over a video game for a little bit, you know? Maybe you have to hyper-focus on something. But at the same time, people have different degrees of anxiety. My anxiety is more social and subtle to where I can't, like, I can't initiate certain interactions. I can't, like, understand, like, how certain interactions are supposed to go. Whereas other people, they just might get obsessive over something that's bothering them or create problems in their head and then freak out about them, you know? So it's like, you know, some people, they gonna have to hit them psychedelics real quick. Some people, you know, they gotta.
Yeah. Because, you know, some people, I feel like, are holding it in or pin it inside and yes. just like, yeah. And have don't know how to, you know, explore that or express it or get that, whatever that feeling is outside. And right. And sometimes it could be where if I do this, the ramifications of me expressing my, feelings, because of the way social media is, but that's only social media, you know what I'm saying? You know, yeah, it's terrible,
big time,
but I you know,
you will get canceled, so,
yeah, we're all of us,
I get it, you know, yeah. being mindful, I get it, but like, I think. Can be a little severe sometimes, like people just need to relax and understand that people have perspectives that are different from theirs and they need to relax and talk to them like humans, but hey,
because we're all people in the end.
Exactly.
It's not about what we believe, it's about the connection that we have with each other. That's it. I mean, it's really that simple, and I think that's why I'm iffy about the freedom of media.
That's what I'm saying. Like, it's all about getting, because, okay, there's a big importance on people getting on the same wavelength. Now,
yeah.
With that, okay, so how media has messed that up is that they've convinced everyone that one certain or a certain wavelength that appeals to whatever viewer, they all are the right wavelength. That is the right wavelength. And then it creates enemies because they're like, nah, you're not on my wavelength. Man, relax, man. Everybody has to get to the same wavelength. Yes. Yeah. But that wavelength is probably a little far off from what you're thinking if you're making enemies out of everybody.
And, like, and very destructive in the end. Yeah, I mean, it's like... If you don't believe what I believe, I'm going to do something to you because you're wrong.
They're trying to fight.
Yeah.
And I hate fighting. Like, I love fighting, you know, I love boxing, but I hate fighting somebody because I'm mad or I'm fighting somebody because we disagree. There's very few times that will happen. And I'm not the type to like, I will argue with somebody to the end of time because we're trying to talk something out. But if I want to fight you, I will tell you directly. There's not going to be insults. There's not even like, hey, you want to fight? Let's meet up and we'll do. And then they'll be like, well, you're, and I'm like, okay, you don't want to fight. Then that's the end of the conversation. Like, when there's no, we have no room for words here. If you want to fight, let's fight. But if you, you know, if you want to talk, then don't belittle me or that. Let's talk. Get on that wavelength.
Exactly, you know? Right. Yeah. I mean, someone's opinion shouldn't make you feel like you have to attack someone.
Exactly. Exactly. It's ridiculous. They fight somebody over their opinion.
Yeah. Yeah, because it's not about your opinion. When I meet you, hi, how are you doing? You know, I've said this before. I've grown up in a generation where I'm probably the last of the generation that grew up with politics and religion is something you don't talk about.
You don't talk about it. Yep. And now it's who did you vote for at the Thanksgiving table?
Yep.
And who did y'all vote for?
Put a damn mask on in between every bite. It's ridiculous, man. And I don't like that. And regardless of social programs, I don't think that government or anyone can tell us what we can do. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, no, for sure. I mean, we all have to, that's us. Right. We have to decide as a community what we're supposed to be doing. And I look at the Black community, and like, of course, there's a lot of things that we have to work on. There's a lot of things that I'm disappointed in, but there's a lot of things that I'm really, really proud of, and things that I get really frustrated that people don't talk about.
Yeah.
Like this year, early this year, we had a lot of police, you know, brutality problems, stuff like that. And then we had a big argument. And the big argument was,
it started with George Floyd, for sure. And
even before him, what was it? Ahmed.
Oh yeah, for sure. Oh yeah, absolutely. Man,
that was
and
crazy.
And you know, Philando Castile.
Oh my goodness.
Oh my God, it goes back. Look, I personally, the reason I changed the way I thought about things was because of the way the media portrayed Trayvon Martin. The thing is I hate to say it, I agreed somewhat with George Zimmerman, but he shouldn't have chased him.
No, not at all.
He shouldn't have chased.
That's the line right there.
That's the line.
That's the
you're not a policeman.
Exactly.
You're not any of that.
Mm-hmm. And I understand that. I understand. That's why. Like I was like, you know, it can be a blurry line. It can be a muddy area.
It's very blurry.
But at the end of the day, if you have to stand for a side, you got to be able to say, hey, you cannot chase down these people and kill them. Like, that's ridiculous. Like, you cannot do that and get away with it.
Well, and see, like with him, he wasn't even a cop. He wasn't even a cop. You don't exactly. Do that. If you're neighborhood watch, your job is to call the cops.
Mm-hmm.
And report it. Mm-hmm. And if they find them, they find them. If they don't, they don't.
He got his ass whooped.
You call next time. Shit.
Dude is mad he got his ass whooped. But then the same exact thing happens. But then the same exact thing happens with Ahmed. He gets run down in a pickup truck. That's like a freaking nightmare out of the 1930s.
That right there was some bullshit. Yeah, that right there was straight up bullshit, because you got those three guys in a truck. One of them was in the back of the truck with a fucking gun. And then you got the guy, he was just jogging. Ahmed was just jogging, I think.
He was jogging, and then he stopped at a house that was for sale. It's an empty house. He stopped. I believe that he looked into the house, looking inside. And I'm not sure if he went inside, but technically trespassing, right? Technically trespassing. It's an empty house. And then he leaves in a couple minutes.
That's not trespassing, man.
Yeah, it's...
If the house is for sale, that's bullshit. It depends on the state's laws. I don't know, but that sounds like bullshit to me.
They thought he was going to rob an empty house. That's why they chased down. I was like, are you serious?
Okay, so... The reason there might be some truth to that is because I've worked in the construction industry.
Yeah.
And people do steal shit out of empty houses, like copper and toilets and sinks and all that shit for real. For
that's crazy.
But I'm not saying that that's what the.
But that's not, you know, obviously were, that is me, you know what I'm saying? Right. Right. Let me go chase a dude down. Like, come on.
Come on, man.
In broad daylight.
It's not like he's holding a bag or he's got a truck with fucking copper in it. He's just running down the street.
That was ridiculous. But what I was saying, that brought up this whole argument. And this argument is about the responsibility of getting killed. And a lot of times, you know, obviously there were a lot of people that just blame whoever got killed for their own actions, for getting themselves in the situation. And then that leads into another conversation of responsibility based on afforded environment, education, just like the most likelihood of making a good decision. How can you make a good decision if all you know is bad decisions, right? You know, so then people were like, well, the Black community just has to do better. They have to raise their kids better. They have to do all this stuff better. I'm like, okay, have you seen our schools?
Yeah.
Have you seen the traumatic things that are happening to our community by our community? Mm-hmm. We're doing it to ourselves? Yeah, okay. But mm-hmm. then, why are we doing it to ourselves? Who commits crime? Let's look around the world.
You know, I got to be honest. I personally think that each community, if it's a poor community, you're going to have poor education.
That's it. That's exactly that. If you look in the other countries, every single poor community is the one committing crime. So why are they poor? Because they're like, oh, Black people make up 50% of the crime, so obviously they're going to get... Yeah, why are they doing that? They make up 90% of the ghetto. Does this make any sense now? So how do you fix it? Well, you give them the education opportunities to make money.
Yeah.
Make money. And then, obviously, the education is like freaking 90% of our childhood we spend in school. So if we don't have good teachers, we don't have good programs, then what do you expect? They're going to get out of school and then they're going to kill each other and steal from each other and get each other pregnant. Like that's human nature.
Yeah.
In the ghetto, you know?
I got a question though. How important do you think school is after, let's say, eighth grade?
You know what? I still think it's very important. I think high school is very important in a different way because of what they're teaching. A lot of stuff you can get into college course. Because nowadays, high school, most people in high school are taking college courses and getting ahead on their stuff, honestly, which is good. And that's what I think it should be doing. But
why
high school, like in the early 2000s, was just transitioning into that, and obviously in the 90s and 80s, it was not showing you so much.
That's absolutely true. Yep. So they kept telling us. Yeah. I graduated in 2000, and they kept telling us, you know, the better you do, you know, you got to go to college. You got to go to college. You got to go to college because if you go to college, it's not going to mean anything. And then next thing you know, it doesn't mean shit.
Yep. Yep. You get your college degree and they're like, all right, now I don't like you. We're going to need all that money back that you used to get.
Even when you die, whatever money you have left, we're going to take that.
Yep. It was ugly. It was you got conned. You've been had, you've been bamboozled.
Yeah, man. I truly believe that if you really want to make a difference, you have to be in a trade or something like that. Or if you're not going to be an athlete like you are, then, you know, if you're not complete like me, smart You do what you can, man. If you got to fucking go paint a house, you go paint a fucking house, man. You got to do what you got to do.
You got stuff that you do for money, but then you got stuff that you do for you, and you do it. Like I can't remember what it was, the quote I've talked
Uber Eats is what I got to do, and podcasting is what I want to do.
Exactly. And they said that there was a quote, I might have talked about it before, I talked about it in some other interviews, but it's a quote that's, it's miscredited all the time. People like say, oh, this guy said it, or this girl said it, or this office said it, and nobody actually knows where it came from. And that actually plays into the quote. Like, it actually proves the quote. And the quote says that, I believe it's, the meaning of life is to find what you love, and the purpose of life is to give it away. What you give it, you just give. And the quote itself is given away, because nobody knows who actually said that. There's no credit.
You know, but what sucks is that someone would force me to want to give it away.
Right.
You know, I want to. You know, people give because of the kindness of their hearts, but to be forced to give, it becomes a burden. But other than that, all right, let's switch
topics. That's the thing.
I'm going to plow through it.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
No. That's the thing. If you give everything away for free, you're not going to live, right? You have to make some money. Everybody has to make money. But I think, like, what plays into that is just the mindset, like the hard work that you have to put in to something before it makes money, because you have passion. You got it. That's it. That's all the quote really means. Life is passion. That's it.
Yeah. That's what matters. Mm-hmm. If you don't have a passion for anything, then life does not matter.
Oh man. It is the worst. I see it. I've seen it so many times. People are just wading through day to day, not knowing what they want. That's how you develop those bad coping mechanisms. That's how you have people that are regulars at the bar and they don't have anything that they're looking for. They're just paying bills and trying to find out how to live.
You live week to week, basically, and it's not a life. It really isn't. It really isn't a life.
Mm-hmm. It's delicate.
It's very delicate, absolutely. And time is so finite that it's like, why have we become these little worker bees when that's not really what's important?
Right.
In my opinion. I mean, I understand you want to go out there and you have to make a living.
You got to grind. Everybody has to grind a little bit.
Yeah, you got to grind. You have to have a passion. Absolutely.
Oh yeah.
And I don't know. Anyway, plowing through. Like I said, have you ever done any psychedelics?
No, I have not. I'm like the pure maiden.
Okay, wait. Before you start, psychedelics include alcohol.
Weed. Okay, fair enough. So I have. Very little alcohol, about once a year, maybe like once a year, twice a year or so. I had my first drink at the age of 24, actually.
24, wow.
24, I was in Hawaii, and apparently I can hold it because that was some really strong. Have you ever heard of chartreuse?
No.
Chartreuse
color
is green. Yes. Yeah. And it's a French liqueur made by monks. And it smells like flowers. And it's like 55% alcohol, which is wonderful. And it's 110 proof. It's very fancy. It's very fancy and powerful liqueur. So I drink about 70% of a bottle. Well, it's like a $120 bottle. And I wasn't gone. Like, I was there. I told you I could hold it. But the morning I was hurting. I was hurting in the morning.
Yeah.
But okay, so I do like once a year. And you know, I never have problems. Cause you know, people like call their ex or they do something stupid or they go crazy. And I never have problems. I'm just me, but a little louder.
That's because you don't do it enough.
Like my everything in my personality is a little bit bigger.
I got you. Yeah. And you know what? That's what it does. That's why people call it liquid courage, because it actually enhances the way you feel inside. And so like,
right.
Yeah. So like, if you feel like you can beat somebody up when you drink alcohol, it's like, yo, I'm gonna fuck this nigga up. I swear to God. Yeah.
He's like, I'm good as shit. I can fight.
Yeah, word is bad. Word is
bad. Oh my God, man. Yeah,
so, people go crazy. You say you never done like hardcore psychedelics, right? Like nothing like MDMA or ecstasy or peyote or anything like that.
Mm-mm.
That's crazy. Because you're in Texas, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. That shit grows. You know, do you know that 90% of the schools grow, or 100% of the schools grow 90% of the magic mushrooms in the United States?
What? Are you serious?
Yeah, man.
You're fucking lying.
Nah, man. Because of the mulch.
In Texas.
In Texas, man.
We got special mulch.
No. In every country. It's the temperature has to be right. Or in every state.
Oh, my God.
The temperature has to be right, but they grow in mulch. So wherever you see mulch, if you start pulling that shit over, if you find a mushroom, chances are you can get tore up on it.
Wow, that's wild.
I actually just learned that I watched that on Amazon Prime, Psychonauts, a comedian's something for psychedelics or something. I forgot the full name, but it was pretty good. It was like about an hour and a half, hour 50 minutes. And it was a comedian that suffered from bipolar disorder. And he found that psilocybin, which is magic mushrooms, psilocybin, ayahuasca, DMT. He actually tried DMT prior to trying ayahuasca. But DMT is an entirely different drug. Well, it's the same. I'm sorry. It's the same drug. However, it's ingested differently. With DMT is smoked like in a bowl or in a bong or something like that. And with ayahuasca is drinking in a tea with the leaves that are MAOI inhibitor. But all ayahuasca, psilocybin, LSD, and DMT have all been proven through MAPS, which is a government-funded program for clinical studies. Have 90% have quit smoking, quit drinking, and have lived so much better lives without any of that because of psychedelics. Wow. Yeah, man. It
sounds like a perspective change.
That's exactly what it is. Your brain, you know, psychedelics carve new brain paths, in your brain.
Right.
Brain waves, paths. I think it's paths. But it allows you to think differently. And I think that's what most people need is another way to think differently and better, if anything.
I feel like I just don't have problems doing that. And I think that's why I've never seeked out any of it. Because I've been interested, honestly. I've been looking at them like, okay, these people, you know, you have all these questions. And they're like, man, I tried this. It was wild. Like, changed my life. And I'm like, yeah, I literally do that, you know, by studying and having the conversation. and I change and I feel like I'm getting the changes that I'm looking for already.
Sure.
I don't feel the need to do a psychedelic to make that change happen. But if I ever were to, then, I mean, sure, I'd try a safe one, a good one that's, you know, obviously I don't want to do anything bad, but I don't know. I never had a problem trying to see things from a different perspective. And I think that people trying to cope with, you know, different issues and not knowing how, that's probably a good reason. There's probably a good reason to try, you know, psychedelics or anything that like outside of yourself, if you really can't find the answer within. But you know, I feel like I found the answer, you know, inside of myself. Just looking in the mirror and thinking and expressing, you know, that's a big thing, because making music, I make those songs, and I don't make those. Obviously, you don't make good artists don't make art for other people; they make it for themselves. So, like this last song that I did or that I released, I don't know why I was feeling the way I was. I had no reason to. I had no, like, I'm sitting here doing what I really want to do. I'm training. I'm living my dream. And for some reason, I just felt like at a dead end and like I wanted to die. And I had these issues, like, you know, you see it in the song. And
I love the beat. Better. I love the beat too that you used. That instrumental was off the hook. And when you rapped it was more, you know, like fucking poetry. It was you feel it, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It was like what was that, Deaf Comedy Jam or Deaf Poetry Jam?
Yeah, Deaf Poetry. Yeah.
Yeah, just like that, man. But I think if you really, really wanted to, man, if you wanted to get into the music business, you got it, bro.
You think so?
Yeah, man.
Absolutely. I like it. I don't know if I'd ever get into like the business. Because like I said, you know, artists, they don't make it for other people. Listen, they make it for them.
If you find one person that's willing to pay you to make music, you're in the business.
You're right. You're right.
Yeah, facts.
Like, I mean, and then people ask me all the time, like, "Hey, man, come to the studio. Come to the studio." I'm like, nah. Just because I don't have, honestly, I'm just right now. I have to be very careful with my time.
Sure.
With my time, the way that I manage my time, because I have some big stuff coming up with boxing. Like, you know, we're taking this next fight December 5th, and it's, you know, it's kind of a test fight because we're getting offers for big fights, you know, and career wise, you know, I need to be ready for those big fights. That's why we're having this test fight to make sure everything's going right. I had to get a new coach, you know, and, you know, figure some stuff out, develop my style properly. So now we're going to see how this works. And then, you know, it's time to go to work. It's time to go to for real work. So, I'm excited about that, but it's like, it takes up all my time. Like, I have not Uber driven because I made an okay amount on my last fight, so I've been kind of living off of that. But I'm running out of money. But good thing I'm fighting again. But honestly, if I had to Uber, it'd be so much harder to develop the way that I'm supposed to. Like, I'm taking notes, I'm doing film studies, I'm working out a lot, I'm trying to get my weight down. Man, there's a lot of different stresses out there. If I had to add making more money, because, you know, I teach boxing too, so I do like every lesson. Yeah, and that's a little bit easier. That's $40 an hour, $60 an hour. That's a lot better than Uber driving for 7 hours, you know?
Seven hours, you make 100 and 120 tops.
Yeah. Yeah. So I was like, man, let me do a couple of lessons with people that you know, that I trust and that I love working with, and let me just man.
See, that's the part, that's the passion part right there, right? Because you know that there's something there, and you know that that's what you love to do, mm-hmm. you know, and you know, just that's just the difference.
I got lucky on that one. Because my dad's a great, my dad's such a great teacher. Yeah. He's such a good teacher. My granddad was a great teacher. My great granddad was a historical teacher.
You come from a long line of great people. I gotta be honest.
Yeah. I gotta thank you, man. I love my family, my lineage. I'm actually so proud to be.
And you should part be. Of my family. I'm happy. Oh wait, shout out to Wally Skag. Yo, catch her Twitch. Word is bond, cause yo, she be drawing. And if you like Dungeons and Dragons, yo, she acts good as hell. She's such a good character. I mean, you know, it makes it so fun.
Yeah, she is honestly like one of the most talented human beings. Yeah, right? Like she's such an amazing cousin. Like I love Ashley so much. She probably does not realize.
You said her name. I said Wally Skag.
I can't, bro. Like it's that's smash link, bro. That's
yeah, and with Julie and her brother, you know. What he does with the damn food, man. I swear.
Yo, I cannot wait to visit him. He's
so talented with just making food look so damn delicious.
I am so excited. Like you have no, I am a foodie. Mm-hmm. I am a foodie. When I visit him, it is going down. Mm-hmm. Like it's going down. It's about to happen, dog. I'm excited. I love them.
Yeah. And they're only a couple hours from me, so I make sure to keep in touch, that's for sure. Because you know they're the closest family that I have, for real.
Yeah, for real.
So, you know, I make sure to holler at them for sure. Mm-hmm. Even though we may not agree politically, but it's all good, man. I think politics just separate us. Believe what I believe. You believe what you believe, and that's it. You vote the way you vote. I vote the way I vote. Who the fuck cares about, you know, who the fuck
you I know what happens? What happens is that people obviously voting matters, you know, and that's what puts people in power. And when someone has certain beliefs,
they pander,
and they believe too. That things are done better a different way.
Yep,
that's different because. That's fine, right? That's how we think. But a lot of people take it personally because they see the people in power as harmful to the people that they're trying to protect. It's no longer about politics for them.
Sure.
Which I understand. Mm-hmm. I totally understand. Like you look at Donald Trump, and do I think that
don't
Donald
do it.
Trump is
don't do what, it. I got the flag behind me. Don't do it.
That's the thing. I don't think that he's as bad as people make him out to be. Do I think he's bad?
You in trouble?
Do I think he's bad? I know I'm already in trouble, but I don't care about getting canceled because I'm not even started yet. So I don't think that he's as bad. Do I think he's bad? Yeah, I do. I think he's trash, honestly. I don't like him. Now, there are good things that he's done. Yes. And this is what confuses people. I was on Facebook arguing with people because it's fun. And they on one status, somebody was getting mad at me and calling me a Trump supporter. And on another status, somebody was getting mad at me
for being a
thing that I was like a No, I was not even. It was before Biden was even in the picture. It was a while ago. But they were just saying that was some. They just called me a libtard, and I was like, "Both of you are wrong." First of all, because I personally hate both parties. I hate most politicians.
You have a personal profile on Facebook, And then you have your page on your personal profile. You put your personal bullshit, whatever that is. And on your page, you put your business shit. And then they follow your business shit and then go to your personal shit and try to blame you for who you are. It's fucking ridiculous, man.
But, you know, I'm not worried about it. I really don't care. I don't care because I know that at the end of the day, I'm just trying to help people. And that's all there is to it. And people talk. And I cleared it up with those people that were mad and all this. So I was like, no, let me tell you the truth. All right. There are good and bad things objectively. Objectively, there are good and bad things that come with any precedent that's ever existed. There's nobody that's been 100% worse for, you know, the worst thing ever. But I just think that we have to be more objective about things. That's what I was saying.
We have to.
I don't care who signs the bill.
We have to.
As long as it gets signed. That's all. Because nobody's looking out for it.
Look, when it came out with the platinum bill,
I was into it.
I literally, and this is not bullshit. You know, you can ask my wife, you can ask my kids. I literally jumped around the house. I said, holy shit, this is reparations. Straight up. I said, wow, this is historic. I love this. And then maybe a week or two, maybe 3 weeks prior to that, you hear of nine families buying 90 acres in Georgia to build their own city. And I thought that was fucking beautiful. That's exactly what America is. And so with Trump saying, I'm sorry. And then you got the family in Georgia that's building their own thing. I'm like, how can this country be racist overall? I know there's sex. Don't get S-E-C-T-S. Sex of racism. But overall, it's hard for me to believe that this country is overall racist. You know what I'm saying?
The country was built around... It was built by racists. It was built by people that did not think that.
I don't agree.
That's exactly what when they said all men are created equal. They were not talking about women, and they were not talking about black people. They're talking about white men that came to America way back when they first started. That's a fact. They had to add. That's why you had to amend the Constitution. That's why you had to make all these amendments and make these progress.
But there's a reason. There's a reason that they did that.
What was the reason?
That they wouldn't have the South's support. Sorry, that they wouldn't have the South's support because the South actually had dealings with England. And they were fighting for slavery in order for England to give them money. So the South was going to be their own country. And then the North, the Mason-Dixon line, was going to be their own country. That was what the Civil War was about. So the South may have fought for slavery, but they did it in order for financial gain.
I mean, of course they did, but they also definitely did not think that they were equal.
No,
I mean,
not at all, because they had
their own
slave. You know, you got to understand, slave traders made it very easy for them. All they had to do was go to the slave trader and say, "Hey, look, I need 35 N words," and that's it. You know what I'm saying? That's it. They took 35 N words,
but that doesn't change the fact. That was their mindset. That's what I'm saying. Like they had a mindset. It's just like you got to look at it. Like look at how black people are portrayed and why they are portrayed that way, because that's the way that it's been. The stereotypes.
Sure.
The stereotypes are there for several reasons. So it's not that.
The big dick stereotype is a good one. Y'all need to keep that one.
Hey, I mean. I'm not saying the stereotypes are wrong. I'm just saying. All I'm saying
Word is mine. I feel you.
Are powerful. So, I mean, you have this. If it wasn't started, with both principles in mind, of yes, economy, which was one of the main reasons.
Absolutely,
for the because South. The Industrial the Revolution South. Is what changed everything.
Sure,
that Industrial Revolution. But, it was
for the
like,
South. The South depended on plantation work,
agriculture,
and agriculture.
Exactly. Now, I understand. I know exactly what you're talking about, and you're not wrong. You're right. But that doesn't change the racist, because you look at the North. The North was still racist after the Industrial Revolution.
It was a different type of racist, but yeah, I agree.
And they weren't slave owners, but they were racist. That's what I'm saying. And that's what I mean by this. The country was established with, we came here, we took the land, so we have money, we get the ownership, this is ours now. You know, we can do whatever we want. Black people got out of slavery, we're not given money. And then they expect us to pull up by our boot heels and pull our
bootstraps. Most of them, honestly, were indentured servitude after that. So
exactly.
So what they did was they worked off their debt until they were free. And in the South,
which made no sense,
they would own farms by the bank. And the bank would charge them an astronomical amount of interest.
Yeah.
So it made it impossible for them to make money
and
off of their land.
Let me get me started on the prison system.
Word is bond. Oh, fuck the prison system. Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Word is bond. Fuck the prison system. It doesn't need to be fucking private owned. That, fuck that shit.
At all.
Nope.
Never. I mean, ain't much to say about that, man. It's just messed up. People don't understand. And this is what I was saying. So back then, it was built on racism, but because of that establishment, now it's turned into classism, which mirrors racism, because the classes were established on racism.
Right. So
poor people,
the only option is to, in my opinion, is to become more successful. Sorry.
Yeah.
That's it. That's the only way to get out of it. Mm-hmm. And what sucks is either you play basketball or you rap.
Mm-hmm.
Boxing has become something, you know what I'm saying? It sucks, man.
That's part of the reason why. See, this is why it was rap, and it was music, and it was athlete for a long time, because that's something that you can cultivate in the ghetto.
Sure.
Rap is poetry about the ghetto. That's how it got so popular. Right.
Absolutely.
Athleticism, I mean, you look at the money that gets injected into these high school teams and college teams. Don't even get me started, man. That's just money right there. And these kids,
college players need to be paid, by the way. College players need to be paid.
Fuck. Yep. Yep. That too. But, cause the colleges are making bank.
Word is bond.
But our passions are not always rewarded. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay. My thing froze. All right. Our passions are not always rewarded, because you have these little black kids that like different stuff, that like fashion, that like, you know, Kanye being into fashion.
Man, was his a shoes. Big wake-up call, man, for look. As much as I like Kanye and what he stands for, and his shoes is ugly as fuck.
Yeah, they are. They honestly are. But like the point, the only real thing that I take from him is he created something. He did it his way. Can you hear me? Okay. Yeah, I got you. So,
Sorry. No, I was going to... No. Look, hold on. Sorry, man. No, I was gonna take a bowl hit, and for YouTube, I have to edit it. So I was just trying to make it easier for me.
Double man.
I was just trying to make it easier for me to edit. That's all.
Right. No, you good. So my point with Kanye being into fashion is that was out of the norm. And Kanye, most of his ventures are unorthodox, and he does them his own way. And whether it's good or bad, which for the most part, he actually has been doing pretty good stuff for people, but he doesn't play by anybody's rules. And that's what I'm trying to foster in the kids. So, like, I already know, if I make some money, some real money, some big money, I already know what I'm going to do with it. Like, I'm trying to start a center that, first of all, protects foster kids, because
that's awesome. Foster
is disgusting. Like,
nah, it's ridiculous. We need to take care of our own.
Oh my God. And it's basically sex trafficking. It's disgusting. It is so bad. But, and then we have to have
wait. Foster care is sex trafficking? Talk to me about that.
I don't even know.
I mean, since Ghislaine Maxwell has been locked up, there's been a lot of fucking
exposure.
Know. Yeah, for sure.
A lot of exposure, a lot of kids getting rescued. I hear 600 kids just got rescued. I wonder how.
The biggest in the state history. Yeah.
Ridiculous.
This happened. But then,
you gotta know that that's the stuff that's outside the system. We have inside our United States government funded foster system is extreme sex trafficking that is going on that people don't know about. True. And I mean, and it just needs to be, some people try to expose it. I don't think that exposure is always the best plan. Sometimes you just got to fight it with an alternative, because they will kill you. Yeah. they will find a way to tear you down. Absolutely. Or break you down. If they can't tear you down, they're going to kill you like they killed Martin Luther King. Mm-hmm. Like they killed Jeffrey Epstein. He did not kill himself. I'm sorry. Like, you know what I'm saying?
Epstein suicided by someone else.
Yeah. He got suicided.
Yeah.
I mean, I can't believe he got suicided like that. That was crazy.
Crazy.
But, you know, I already know what I want to do to help these kids, but like my main thing is like I want to be like Chance the Rapper. He starts these programs, he goes to his local city, and I mean,
completely independent. City he council. Wants to do it because he's doing it.
That's what I want to do. And that's going to help the community one step at a time, interpersonal connection. And then if I can get somebody else to grow up and do that, and they can get somebody else to grow up and do that, may change. That's what I'm looking for. But
definitely. And how, you know, and the question is, how many of us know our neighbors? Not very many. You don't know who that dude is next to you,
especially nowadays.
Yeah. So,
especially nowadays.
So like, I feel like even though it's on a national level, it starts in the community. It starts here. It starts with your neighbor, the person across the street. You talk to them, you chill, you make your neighborhood safe by being proactive.
Wavelengths. People don't like to hurt people that they get along with. They don't like to rob. You know, they like to rob strangers.
That's a good point.
You know, like, yeah, a lot of crime is committed by people that they know, but they're not committed by people that they love. You know what I mean? Yeah. Unless you start to get into
then they need to start robbing a neighborhood that don't love them.
That's what I'm saying, man. Get out there and Robin Hood real quick.
The word is bond. I saw that, by the way. I saw the old Disney one from like the 80s. I watched it with my son on Disney Plus. And he said, "What is this crap?" I'm like, "This is my shit."
This is a classic, sir.
Yeah, man, shut the fuck up.
I'm telling him, this is a classic, sir.
Nah, but he straight up played on the Switch the whole time while I watched it.
Switches of the devil. I got a Switch too. Right. It really is.
All right, man. So you got a fight coming up, bro. You got a fight coming up. So talk to me, man. Tell me what's up.
Yeah, man. I'm excited. I'm real excited. Real excited. So I got a fight December 5th in Kentucky. And we have I got my coach, Coach Gibbs. He was my first coach when I first started boxing at the age of 20. And he raised me, he taught me a lot of fundamentals. And we broke we separated because I moved to San Antonio. Well, initially he moved to Philly. He was gone. And I wasn't going to stay in Lawton, Oklahoma, because there's nothing there. There's no boxing there for real. And there's no opportunity. So I moved to San Antonio with my brother.
How dare you?
I know.
That's where I did my basic training at.
For real?
Yeah.
In San Antonio?
In Lawton.
Oh, Lawton. Yeah. For sale. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I hate that city. Oh, my God. You know all about it, man. You know all about it. I hate that goddamn city.
There ain't shit there. There's nothing there.
Bro, it's Fort Sill, and then it's a mall.
Yeah.
And then meth.
And all I know about is Fort Sill. I know about the mall only because of the day that I left.
Oh, my God. Ridiculous. But, okay, so we separated, right? I got a new coach. I went pro with that coach here in Texas. We had kept contact, though. And a couple of times I wanted to pull him into my corner to be a part of my team, right? And my coach at the time, he got very jealous. And he did not appreciate me bringing back my old coach, which is not how the team is supposed to work. Like, you're supposed to bring people on the team that makes the fighter comfortable.
And not only that, makes you feel like you're going to develop yourself better.
Exactly. That's all it really was. I was very loyal. I was very, very, very loyal to my coach, you know, and all that stuff. I went through some pretty serious stuff. And then I lost my last fight. And I lost that fight because I was not prepared properly for that fight. We only did mitts like three times total for that fight. Mitts, when they're punching the pads and stuff, like you see these professional boxers, they do that every single day. And I'm going to go into a fight against a guy that's 11-0 with 8 knockouts. And you're going to tell me that doing mitts 3 times for the whole camp is good enough? Stupid. And I knew that going in. I was just trying to be loyal and be humble and listen to my coach. But his game plan wasn't very developed. He just said, do this. And we went over it, and I was like, man, this was the dumbest game plan I've ever seen in my life. So I separated from him, got my coach back, and then I started talking to my new manager, who we're just getting started with, Charles Watson. And Charles Watson's team.
Shout out to Charles.
Shout out to Coach Gibbs. They are kind of the foundation outside of my family of this team that we're building. Yeah. And he
told me, you gave him a shout out the last time we did a podcast.
Oh, good. So good.
That's good, so, man.
Yeah. I went up to Georgia. I stayed there for a couple of weeks and we learned some stuff. Me and Gibbs stayed up there with Charles. And we built some, you know, we did some good stuff, got some good sparring, training, all that. And then he set up this fight, you know, our test fight, see how it goes. And then he's, you know, he's going to hopefully pull me up to Michigan to meet some famous people and work with some stuff. And we got a lot of stuff coming up. But the point is, this is a team that's for my development, for my, you know, my well-being, and they're willing to work for me. And I'm not one of those guys like egotistical. I have to do, you know, I have to do whatever I want. Like, I'm not one of those guys. I'm the boss. I'm like, no, I will listen. I will, you know, take advice and
because you want
exactly.
You want to learn.
But on the other side, I need people that are gonna help me and listen to me when I do make a decision. When I do say, okay, at the end of the day, I want it this way, which I don't do. I don't make power moves. I'm not that guy. I'm not a power move guy. There's no need for that. What is that for? I'll make the best decision. That's it. So if I think I have the best decision and I have taken into account everything that everyone has said, trust me, I'm just need you to be behind me. And that's what I got now. You know, I got a team.
That's yeah, and you have a following. You have people that believe in you. And I'm telling you, man, since day one, I believe in you, first off.
For real.
And I think fuck yeah, dude. What you see out there in boxing now, you're more exciting than a lot of these motherfuckers that are out there right now, man. Come on, man.
Yeah, man.
And the way you'd be like, yeah, every time you throw that jab, you're like,
yeah. I'm a noisy boxer now.
And there's nothing wrong with that. You know, I think that engages people.
Yeah.
I do, because all the greats, maybe not all the greats, but most of the greats, they did that. You know,
they expressed somehow. Everyone had their own thing.
Yep.
You know.
And Floyd got that. That's what he's got. That's his thing.
Adrian Broner does that. He goes,
And he goes,
He's good.
When else? And you go,
get that key.
You got that monkey slap, nigga.
I'm trying. I've developed a lot. I've been practicing a lot. I finally feel like I made some big steps, and I did. It shows in my sparring. It shows in everything that I'm doing. So now we just got to see if it shows in the fight, and then it's time to move. Time to move up.
Word is bond. All right, yo. So give everything you need to say, all your promotions, everything like that. You definitely got to promote your fight. Everything. Your Teespring, your all that.
Dude, I'm so bad at these. Okay, so
Take your time. It's all good.
Right. Here's the main thing, guys. You know what? Honestly, Instagram and my Facebook page. So Instagram's Professor X Wilson. That is the easiest way to get in touch with me for boxing and for any questions and all that stuff. That's probably my main communication tool. Facebook Messenger is a little bit difficult for some reason because it's so many different inboxes, but whatever. You're going to get updates on that. Now, if you want to see me be stupid, okay, go ahead and go to my TikTok, which is the same as my Instagram, at Professor X Wilson, all one word. And, I make dumb stuff all the time. I've been learning how to dance so I can box better, actually. I've been learning how to dance, and I'm dancing for 30 days. I try to interact with the community because I actually got a fairly large amount of followers. Like, I got like 30,000. So I'm trying to keep that going and connect with people because people connections are important. But other than that, I mean, I do have a Teespring store. Just look up Monkey Squad Boxing. My Teespring store is on my Instagram page. So that's my link in my bio. you click that. I have socks. I have stuff that I have not pushed just because I'm kind of a fraud and I'm just not ready to push it yet. But I have a bunch of stuff on there. I just need to order it and get it modeled and stuff. But for the most part, man, like I said, just follow me on Instagram. Send me a message. You know, I'll see it because they have them. You know, on Instagram is easier. The Facebook one's harder for me to see. But
he lying because he was 2 hours late for this one. He lied. Yeah,
I'm a fraud. I am a fraud. Nah, I got on and then I forgot that you're not on Central Time because
I think I hit you up around. It was probably afternoon around my time. You tripping?
Right. It was like 4 years time, I think.
Nah.
And man. I was like, oh, good. We got an hour. I mean, 2 hours. And then, like, I hit you up at 4 my time. And I was like, he was like, oh, no, you know, we'll get an next time. I was like, no.
Yeah,
I missed it. I went back and read the message. I was like, oh, my God. But, yeah, man. That's all right. I'm glad we still got in here.
It's all good,
man. That's all I got,
man. All right, yo, wait, hold on, man. Is there
look out on my
any Instagram, like shit talking or any kind of shit you want to say to your next opponent on December 5th?
Oh man, I love all my opponents. I'm like, I'm so nice to them, and then we fight because we get to fight. I'm glad that they took the fight. I'm gonna be really mean to him when I'm in the ring, but I'm just really glad that he's a warrior that signed up to fight me. Now,
what's his name?
Dwayne Wisdom. Now, if somehow Dwayne Wisdom comes across this, I want you to know that I'm going to beat the brakes off of you.
Yeah.
But we're going to have so much fun. And thank you for fighting me. There's a lot of respect here. I have nothing but respect for my fellow fighters. But you have to have that mindset of, you know, I'm going in there to kill you. And that's all it is. My coach always asked me, he said, what's the referee's job? I said, to stop the homicide. Kill him? That's it. Stop the homicide. That's all it is. So, yeah, I'm going to beat you up. And thank you.
That's fat.
Yeah, man.
Thanks, man. All right, hold on. Let me hold up. Let me do this. All right, I might edit this just so that I can get some people onto the Patreon. So what I'll do is just like a regular podcast on for free. And then I'll do an unedited one on Patreon. So like this entire video will be on Patreon.
Right.
All right. Just, you know, but I'm not going to make you look like shit, nothing like that. You know, I don't have any motive.
No, I know.
Yeah. Well, you know what I'm saying? You're
man.
I consider you family.
Yeah,
more. Hold up.
Yeah.
You know, to me, this is a monumental episode. You came on episode 2.
Yeah.
And I've put out maybe one a month. Maybe if that, and you, this is gonna be episode 13, lucky number 13. But I feel like I've grown so much. I've grown so much in what I've been doing, and I feel like I should have given you a better opportunity to express yourself on the first time that we did the podcast. Because I feel that boxing is not who you are. It's what you do. And it's what you're good at. Word is bond.
Yeah.
But I feel like but I feel like you're a good person. That's the main thing. And that's what I want to promote is good people. And you're a good person, man. Yeah, man. We go through our bullshit.
Yeah.
Fuck it. We go through our bullshit. It's all good. It's not about what the shit that we go through in our head. It's about the shit that we do.
And that's right.
You do good, man. And I appreciate you and I love you. Even though last time we saw each other was when we were like, you know, 6 and 10.
Children. Shit. Yeah. Where'd children. That's, man, that means a lot to me, man. Thank you for real. Like, thank you for real, for real. That's real love, man.
It is real, man. For real.
Real, man. There's not a lot of people on that wavelength. That they're not on that, you know, that personal connection being so important, and that's why so much trouble. But that I'm glad to know you. I'm happy to know you. Very happy. Lucky. Very lucky to know you, man. I'm glad. So this has been just great episode. It's been great. I'm very happy with it.
Well, good. Awesome. You know, and like I said, the show has evolved, and it's not about just what you can promote and these little. Because when I started podcasting, it was these little 20, 30 minute episodes. Mm-hmm. And I got tired of doing that because it just made everything so quick, fast, and in a hurry. And I just didn't like that. I don't like that at all. You know what I mean? And I want to have a real conversation with real people, and especially with my family.
Right.
And you are my family. You know,
yes, sir.
Regardless of DNA results or whatever it is.
Yeah.
We're family through our connections.
That's right. That means a lot. Trust me.
Yeah.
Trust me. I know exactly what you're talking about.
You, your brothers, your cousins, they are fucking family to me, man.
So I'm talking about that. That's real.
I may be the older one of y'all, but for real, for real, like, y'all was my family. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Even if it was brief, but you got to understand with me, everything was brief.
Right. You're moving around.
You know, yeah. Word is bond. But, all right, man. Thank you so much, man.
Definitely.
Thank you for what you do. And you're so positive, dude.
Oh, thank you, man. I try to be, man. Sometimes it's hard, but man,
word is bond.
You got to do it. You got to do it.
Yeah.
Somebody asked it.
So how can people follow you? How can people get in touch with you? Say it again one more time for me.
Oh, yeah. So we got, like I said, the easiest way is Instagram at Professor X Wilson. My TikTok has a lot of followers. You can get more of a day-to-day with me on there. On TikTok, same thing, at Professor X Wilson. Or my Facebook page is also, I pretty much accept any friend requests on Facebook. You find Xavier Wilson, I really don't care. Like, I'm an open book. I don't know, maybe if I get famous or something, it'll get a little harder. But for right now, I like to talk to everybody. So just add me on whatever. If you want to buy some cool merch, my Instagram profile has my Teespring. And
go ahead and say it. No. Put it out there. Say it.
The Monkey Squad, teespring.com/stores/MSB store. So that's Monkey Squad Boxing. If you just look up Monkey Squad Boxing store, I'm pretty sure you'll find it on Teespring. But if you can't find it, go to my Instagram description.
What is it again?
Click the link. It's teespring.com/stores/MSB store. And you're going to find a bunch of pretty cool stuff.
The fucking shirts are fab, by the way. I don't know who, I forgot who made your design. I think you said it last time, but I can't remember. But you're them shits is hot.
Yo, thank you, man.
I love them, man.
I designed most of them myself, and then I paid somebody off of Fiverr to redo my monkey to make them a little bit more like logo-ish. But most of them I just did myself.
Oh, that's fat. Yeah. I tried signing up for Fiverr as a voice artist, but oh, yeah? I realized that I didn't want to do that shit. It's like, yo, that's too much work, man. It's like you got to say it 3,000 times just to get it right.
Yeah,
it gets boring.
Voice acting is not easy.
Yeah, word.
But yeah, man, that's cool.
Hell yeah, man. All right, man. Well, it was good talking to you, brother. And oh, yeah, I'm so sorry too, because you were supposed to be, you know, training.
Oh, I still got time, man. It's what's 6:49 over here. I'm just training at home right now. I already went to the gym earlier, so I just left, and then got another session coming up.
Word is bond. Oh, wait. I gotta ask you this.
Yeah.
What have you been doing different this time around that you didn't do the last time?
Okay, so we have a lot of fundamental things that we kind of added in terms of which way I walk, and I fight in straight lines a lot. I just that's just me. I'm just kind of a straight line kind of guy. So I'm learning how to fight more in a circle, which is really good. And then letting my hands go has been a big problem. So basically,
man, you got some fucking hands, nigga. You need to let that shit go.
And I'm too conservative sometimes about my punches. Like, I need to just let them go, and just try to really kill the person that I'm trying to fight. Let the referee stop it. Like, I'll hit them. I'll be like, yeah, okay, I won that exchange. I did the right thing. Sure. That's my personal victory.
Well, that's the boxing. That's the boxing.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. 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 And it's that's the professor.
Exactly. You right.
Know, that's the teacher. That's the whatever. Nah. So we're getting away from that in my training habits and stuff.
Professor Savage.
Yeah. We're trying to do the savage part now. So that's been going well, actually. But yeah. Been doing different. So this next fight, I mean, the guy he doesn't have a good record, honestly. But he's game and he's tough. He's not gonna be easy to knock out, but that's the goal, is to finish him. And anyone that we fight from that one, the goal is to finish them. And if I don't finish them, then they better look like I tried to finish them after the fight.
Yeah, no doubt. I get it. I was just saying I'm gonna knock you the fuck out, by the way. I'm gonna fuck you up.
Yo, that's the kind of attitude I need, man.
Word. And it's easy to get into, man. It really is. You may not see it, but you got it. You got that.
Yeah, eye. Like honestly, like if I get when I get competitive about something, I can do it. I can.
Hell
do it.
Yes.
I just have to train to do it.
I've seen it. Hell yeah. Mm-hmm.
So that's why, you know, my manager Charles, he's worked with some pretty famous people and stuff. That's why he is taking a chance on me. Word, you know, he's doing this. We're getting into this.
Shout out.
We're starting all this. And I'm straight up, I'm 28 years old.
Yeah.
I'm 28 years old.
It's time to get it.
Coming off of a loss.
It's time to get it.
So, yeah, he's we're making investments here. This is about to,
word is
it's
bond.
About to happen.
Word is bond. How can people – no. Other than Teespring, man, how can people support you, like, flat out? Yo, I'm saying, like,
man, right now, honestly,
right straight now, line direct into your pocket. How can people support you right now? If it's a PayPal, if it's something like that, yo, say it for real. If it's a Cash App, do it.
I do have a Venmo.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying, man. Put that shit out there, man.
I have one. I have one. If anyone wants to do donation, because honestly, that's all I do right now. All I do, a couple of private sessions for money, but all I do is train and fight. So if you would like to support me as an athlete to train and fight, because like I said, I am running out of money, so I gotta get put these bills together. If you would like, I do have a Venmo. It's the same thing at Professor X Wilson. All my stuff is at Professor X Wilson for the most part. So if anyone feels the need to donate, they can do that, and I will definitely make a video for you. If you have any requests, let me know. I still do tutorials. I still, I still provide as much as I can for anyone that supports me in my community. So just let me know, man, if you guys have any ideas. But if you just want to donate, Venmo at Professor X Wilson, same thing. And I appreciate any consideration like that. I appreciate you, man.
Hey, man, that's what this is about, man, for real. I feel like the people I know need to be recognized for what they do, man. And you adored it, man. I don't feel like you're getting enough recognition, for real.
Thank you, man. Hope to get there.
Yo, you fucking niggas up. Yo, I told you that monkey slap was no joke. Last time that monkey slap, I wasn't playing when I said that shit.
Yeah,
that
man.
Monkey slap is no joke.
We're leveling it up now. You'll see. I'm gonna show it to you. Watch.
Mm-hmm.
I'm gonna show it to you.
That's what's up.
I'm planning to show everyone something special.
That's what's up. All right, man. It was good talking to you, man. I love you, bro. And tell everybody in the family I said hi. And
oh, yeah.
All the best. You know how it goes, man. Yeah, before we go, all right, last time. You got anything you want to say?
Hey, if y'all have been keeping up, keep keeping up, because this man is the man with the plan. This man is all about the connections. This is how you grow as a person. If y'all ever have any questions about anything, feel free to jump in either of our inboxes. I'm an open book, like I said. And thank you. Love y'all. Hope to see y'all soon.
That simple.
Yeah.
All right, man. I'll holler at you, brother. All right,
brother. Definitely.
Ayo. Peace.